Tairila Shishi Aina Yud Gimel Adarishan, Thursday 13th of February.
Stopping a cholent from drying out.
Stopping a cholent from drying out on Shabbos.
Okay, Shalom Uzracha Rabbeisai. The topic tonight is, of course, one of these topics. Dvarim Ha'imdim Barumei Shalaylam. One of the most important halachas anyone who's Jewish needs to know. And that is, of course, how to stop one's cholent from drying out on Shabbos, lo yaleinu rachmona litzlon. The person has a cholent and they see that the water is evaporating from this cholent, and it's going to be much more solid than they had initially intended. So what is the procedure regarding adding water to the cholent pot on Shabbos? Now, it sounds like such an innocent question, just to add some water to the cholent pot. But in fact, there are numerous issues which are related to this topic. Number one, there's an issur bishul. We know you're not allowed to cook things on Shabbos, so we have to be careful what sort of liquid we're going to be putting inside this cholent pot. Number two, there's an issur magis. Magis is stirring food on Shabbos. There is a discussion regarding stirring foods on Shabbos, how that can sometimes, under certain circumstances, accelerate the cooking process. As well as that, there's an issa chazorah in a sinah b'tchila. You're not allowed to, even if you have something that is hot, you're not allowed to put it on a heat source on Shabbos if it was not on a heat source on Shabbos previously, which I'll explain. And there's also an issa bishul achar tzli. If you have something which is roasted and then you're going to boil it, that's another topic. And then there's an issue of kashrus issues over here. So this is just really an overview of some of the points which we're now going to go through, Be'ezras Hashem, one by one. So in terms of the issur bishul, so of course we'd not be allowed to put cold water into this cholent pot on Shabbos, even if you take the cholent pot off the lech or off the hot plate first. Because you're putting cold water in something, and now you're going to be putting it back onto the source of heat, and that is going to be an issur bishul. So therefore we have to use water that's already boiled. Now what happens if this water has already boiled but is now a little bit cooler, it's not mamish boiling? So there are more, at least paskins, the simin chin yud ches tesvov, that even if it is it's cooled down, as long as it's still hot enough that you'd serve it to a guest, it has a status of still of boiling water. So you have water that is hot water, you'd be allowed to, it has to be that it's hot water that you're using to put into your cholent pot. Okay, let's say that, so you're putting hot water in. The issa of magis, you're not allowed to stir food, generally speaking, on Shabbos. Certainly, whilst it's still on top of its heat source, you're not supposed to stir anything because that could accelerate the cooking process, even if it's already cooked. L'chatzchila, we're careful about that. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that when you, if you're pouring water in gently, benachas, then there's no chashash of hagosah, of stirring over here. So that's another factor which is taken into account. In terms of the issa chazora, what the issa chazora entails is that if you have water that was in a thermos flask, so it's very hot water but it wasn't on a source of heat, you would not be allowed to put that into your cholent pot on Shabbos, because even though that was already boiling hot water, it wasn't on a source of heat, an active source of heat, when Shabbos came in. So therefore, you would not be allowed, in the theoretical scenario, you would not be allowed to put water from a thermos flask. Regarding the chashash of bishul achar tzli achar bishul, your cholent was already boiled. Now it's dried out, so it's like it's been roasted. And now you're going to be putting water on again. Is there a problem regarding that? So he mentions in Arachos Shabbos, page Kuftalid in Chelakalaf, the Minag is Lahokil, over this, regarding this. And then there's the issue of Bosor v'Cholov. So here what I've done is I've just sort of opened up the topic and discussed some of the details. Now I'm going to go through it systematically, what person should do l'maisa if le'oleinu rachmono litzlon, the cholent starts to, the water starts to evaporate. So the halacha is like this. Certainly a person has to put in boiling hot water into this cholent. Now there are some who are machmir that it has to be whilst the urn, you know, sometimes the light goes on in the urn and right now it is active. There are some who are machmir, you can only put water in from the urn into your cholent pot if the light is actually on. It's only then they say that it's considered mamish akli rishon, because right now it's actually boiling. But many poskim, and he brings over here in a footnote on page Tzadi Vav in Arachas Shabbos, many poskim say it doesn't need to be that the light is actually on and it's actually boiling and bubbling right now. As long as it's still in your urn, it's considered water which is in a kli rishon. So you'll be using water from your urn. So, okay, I've got hot water in the urn, boiling water in there, there's no problem visual. How do I get this water into my cholent pot? So practically speaking, there are a number of possibilities. But however we do it, we have to make sure to pour it gently into the cholent pot, because we don't want that there should be an act of, which is akin to stirring, which is going on over here. This hagoso, did I say hagoso stirring before? Yeah? So you have to pour it benachas. So how do you get the water from the urn into the cholent pot? So there are three basic possibilities over here. Either you can bring your cholent pot to the urn. You can lift up your cholent pot, take it off the blech, and you're intending to put it back afterwards, of course, and you take it and you move it to the urn, and you allow the urn, you open the spout of the urn, and you allow the water, the boiling water, to go straight from the urn down into your cholent pot. Now, many of you are probably thinking, hey, wait a second over here. Right? Well, am I making my urn fleshik now? Because we all know that there's an issue of the adim, of the steam, of the zeya that comes up. And you've now got a cholent pot that's a boiling cholent pot. And you've got the steam that's going up to your urn. So have you made your cholent pot, have you made your urn fleshik? So there's a prima godim in Yerodeus and in Tufhei, the Mishpat says Zayin to Prot and Vov. And he says over here, over there, that even though lachatchila, we're normally careful, we don't want that our kettles should get fleshik. And normally when you pour from a kettle, you pour into an empty cup and then you add the milk, or then you add the fleshik contents, whatever it is that you're doing. Firstly, if you're doing it from a distance, you're doing it from quite high up, that the water, the steam is able to dissipate before it comes up to your kettle or to your urn, then that's going to be okay. Your urn is not going to become fleshik if there's quite a lot of space in between. And additionally, what the Prima Godim there says is that this halacha is only lachatchila. However, b'di'eved, if you did pour from an urn, straight from an urn into your cholent pot, or you poured straight from your kettle into your cup of tea that already had the milk in, b'di'eved, your kettle does not actually change its status and become fleshik or milchik. That's only a din lachatchila, says the Prima Godim. But yevet it doesn't, and the reason is because your kettle is boiling, is roisachas, your kettle is also hot at the time. And if your kettle is hot, the power, the intensity of the heat of the kettle stops it from absorbing the steam that is coming out from the source which is below it. So even though lachatchila, normally we are careful that not to pour the kettle on top of something fleshik or milchik, but the Eved, says the Prima Godim over there, and it's quoted at the bottom of page Kuf Dalet in the Archa Shabbos in Chelek Aleph, but the Eved, you're okay. And in our scenario over here, where you need to actually get the water from the urn into the cholent pot, Rav Shlomo Zalman actually relies on this lachatchila based on a Chochma Sodom, who says that one can even do this lachatchila. In this case over here, in order to make sure for your Shabbos food, that it shlouldn't be a problem. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says that is absolutely fine, and we're not worried, even though normally lachatchila we're worried, but over here it would actually be okay. So that's the first way to do it. You can bring your pot to the urn. The next way you can do it is you can bring your urn to the pot. Now, of course, if you're using an electric urn, this isn't possible. But if you have one of the old-fashioned urns, which is just a big pot with a spout, which is on top of your blech and is not plugged in anywhere, you can actually bring your urn all the way over to the pot and you could pour it in into the pot. And you just, as I say, you could pour it in benachas l'secha kedera haymenes ala eish. And the same halachas apply, as we said before. We try and leave a distance so that the steam should dissipate, but if it is closer, then b'dyev, that's not a problem. We can rely on that over here. And the final thing that we can do, which is probably the most practical, in real terms of how you're supposed to get the water from your urn into the chalent pot, is to use a kli sheni. So you pour the water into a glass. Now your glass is a kli sheni, and you pour from your glass into the chalent pot. Now, even though you may be thinking to yourself, well, wait a second, you're now pouring from a kli sheni into a kli rishon. Is that a problem? Surely kli sheni water is of a lower status. You're now going to be pouring that into a kli rishon. So, again, on page Tzadivov, in Chelek Aleph Arches Shabbos, he brings the whole discussion over here, and comes out leheta, that it's not a problem, even though it is a kli sheni, as long as this water is still very hot. You can pour from this kli sheni water into your cholent. Some prefer to take the cholent off the hob when you're actually doing it, and then put it back on again. But even if it is on the hob, that also would be acceptable. So here we've really discussed all of these multiple issues when it comes to ensuring that Lekovit Shabbos Kedesh, that the cholent is not going to be dry. That how it tastes, I can't help you with. Yeah, the ingredients which you or your spouse put inside it, that I can't help you with, I'm afraid, on the very side. But at least to make sure that it doesn't get dried out. So that at least we've discussed today, Lekovit Shabbos Kedesh.